to the Age of Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark, where we learn to accept living in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We share information about the facts of radiation and the nuclear industry. We discuss vital current events and explore the roots of social engineering that has caused so many of our beloved friends and family to intentionally ignore the most critical, catastrophic event in human history. We interview activists who do the hard work to discover the truth and get the word out. We disclose the NRC's daily nuclear alerts and take phone calls from our listeners in an effort to fully engage on all topics that are changing our world. We explore exactly how radiation affects our bodies and minds to dissipate your fears and face the truth. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. We share information on how to take your life back from the systems intent on enslaving our bodies, minds, and souls. The Age of Vision Radio Show will create a venue that all will choose in order to actively engage to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. I'm really excited about this morning's radio show. We're going to have Sean from the SGT report on very quickly. And I want to make a quick announcement. There was an article. I was going to make this announcement anyways because it's something happening in Portland that I forgot. I couldn't get to it on Monday. The nuclear alerts kept me too busy. Yesterday in the Oregonian, there was a report that there are 104 rape kits, that's right, rape kits, sitting in the downtown police department with unprocessed, completely ignored, sitting there for months. And that brings me to this issue, and I'm just going to jump in because in Portland on Sunday, this Sunday at the corner of Southwest Park and Salmon Street will begin, and I'll just read their press release. It's the Slut Walk Portland. Slut Walk has become a worldwide movement working to challenge mindsets and stereotypes of victim blaming and slut shaming around sexual violence. The Portland chapter of Slut Walk has organized a demonstration rally followed by a community march through downtown. Since 2011, when Toronto Constable Michael Sanguetti stated that women could avoid being raped if only they would stop dressing like sluts. People of all genders and backgrounds have attempted to reclaim the word and dismiss myths around victimization. We hope you join us for our peaceful demonstration September 20th at the PSU Park Blocks and Salmon at 1 p.m. And there are slut walks around the world. Many of them happen in September and August. So next year, you guys can start paying attention and participating because women, anybody listening to this radio show has a mother, a daughter, a sister. And women live in a world where we are victimized and it goes unreported and often disregarded. So for me, this is a very big, important issue. So I wanted to read that because it's coming up in Portland. I'm bringing a car full of people, and I hope anybody in the Portland area or near Portland can join us. So look, let me dispel with that and immediately get right to our guest. I'm super excited to talk to him, especially after reading his website. Again, the last couple of days, my eyes have been bugging out. Sean, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Lonnie, can you hear me okay?
I can. You sound a little low. I will tell you that. If you could turn your volume up, that might help you.
All right, let me try this.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I think that's better.
Okay.
Except there's a little bit of feedback. It's probably better for you to put it in.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me try one other thing here.
Okay.
This anyway, we could talk while I'm replugging this in. I've got another solution here, but how have you been? By the way, I think your announcement's very important, Lonnie, and there's a worldwide pedophile scandal that's being covered up, so
right.
it doesn't surprise me a bit that these poor kids who've been already sexually abused are sitting in the pipeline. Hold on, I gotta plug this in.
I agree with you completely, and in fact, the whole thing about disregarding the violence against children and the violence against women in the area of rape is unbelievable. I do understand. I'm having a little bit of feedback on myself. Yeah, that's much better.
Can you hear me now?
I do understand that men are often victimized, and I understand that quite a bit because men are I have known actually a man who was married to a woman who battered him, and it was the same issues of what kept him in the relationship that keeps every person in a battering relationship inside. But this, the slut walk is actually something that I have actually been to every single one since they were up in Portland, 2011, and they're pretty interesting. In Portland, we turn out between 500 to 1,000 people. It's very peaceful. The speakers are really interesting. There's people who share their experience about having been victimized or having been disregarded by police departments. That's very touching and brings home why we need to just keep pushing back against this, what I conceive again to be social engineering. It's a manifestation of social engineering to disregard the needs of children and women.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Can you hear me now okay?
I can, you sound great.
Okay, good. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, please do.
Well, I agree with you. I think that, the least among us deserve the most defense. And, in the world today, it's really the children that are getting the short end of the stick. So, this news you shared about the slut walk, that's news to me. But what's not news to me is the fact that there's pedophile scandals all over the planet leading back to the highest levels of those in power, and it's being covered up. It's being covered up time and time and time again. And, one case in point here in our country would be this scandal with Jared from Subway.
Right, exactly.
A pedophile, which according to a whistleblower at Subway, was known about at the highest levels of executive management at Subway going back at least 6 years. Now, I would have to ask the question, if your corporation, if your marketing face was a pedophile, but the world didn't know it yet, but you knew it, would you not get rid of that person immediately? So my question is, Lonnie, again, as we see pedophile scandals all over the world being covered up, what was going on at Subway? Was Jared part of a much larger pedophile ring? Because to me, without having any of the evidence to suggest that what I'm saying is 100% true, I'm speculating, to me, the evidence would be yes, he was part of a bigger ring, including more powerful people. Because why in the world would you risk the reputation of your company once you find out that the person who's your marketing figurehead, the face of your company, is a pedophile?
Look, my opinion about the Jared thing is it really goes back to the misogyny issue of the slut walk. Those girls were between the ages of 13 years old and 17. So people consider teenage girls sexual objects. They consider them to be, it might not be legal, but they're not children. They justify themselves. And so this is kind of, and it is across the board. This is why it's really kind of a bigger issue. We can have another conversation about it. But I really honestly feel like the reason that this was allowed and sort of ignored was because of the age. If it had been 7-8-year-old children, he'd have been gone in a day once they found out. But it wasn't. It was teenage girls. And it is very common. How many men, you're a man and you talk to men, how many men do you know that privately will sexualize to you about younger women under the age of 17 and just salivate and act like that's the golden prize?
No, I couldn't disagree more. And I'll tell you why. As a father of a 12-year-old daughter, men who are wired correctly do not fantasize about minors. Okay.
Thank you.
That needs to be said. So being wired correctly, I could not be more in opposition to what you're saying because I don't believe it to be true. And I have many, many normal men friends. The problem, Lonnie.
Well, me too, actually. Honestly, me too. Thank God. I understand and I agree with what you're saying. But I think inside the corporate world, there is that kind of especially at these higher levels where people have so much money, they think they can buy anything or anybody.
Well, I think there's a victimization and a sexualization of children that's been playing out in our sick culture for a very long time. And you need look no further than the 2015 MTV Video Music Awards
Right.
to understand that this is part of an Illuminati New World Order agenda to
Right.
sexualize demonically children who otherwise should be out playing and having a great time and not trying to pretend that they're 30-year-old prostitutes. Look at Miley Cyrus, right? Her show that was on Disney for years was on in my home as my children watched her as a little girl. And as soon as the system could turn her into a sexualized, over-sexualized slut, it did. And you see this happen with a lot of these Disney actresses and actors.
Yeah, that just tells you how evil Disney is.
Well, and I'll tell you what, go to Vigilant Citizen, which is vigilantcitizen.com, is a website whose material we post at SGT Report frequently because he does a great job going deep into and dissecting really satanic and deplorable music videos and all sorts of things, including the VMAs, the 2015 MTV Video Music Awards. Who do you think watches the MTV Music Awards? It's not me. It's probably not you, Lonnie. It's kids. And they are absolutely being targeted by really this demonic system, this demonic portrayal of over-sexualization. And it's coming from the highest level. So I do agree with you. I think corporate America and the global corporate system is completely corrupt and is victimizing children, which again is why the UK pedophile scandals, the Vatican pedophile scandals, the American, the US pedophile scandals are all being covered up because it's all part of a much bigger agenda. And it's really, really, really sick because when you get down the rabbit hole to the nth degree, you find out that a lot of these people are just avowed Satanists. So it's okay for them.
Not
They love to victimize kids, right? That's what makes them tick. Now, being wired correctly like you and I are, we don't understand that, right? It's anathema to everything we are and everything we stand for. But that's who these people are. And a lot of them are in the highest levels of power on planet Earth. I mean, it's stunning. I can go deeper into this if you'd like, but I mean,
Yeah, well,
it's
interestingly enough,
remarkable.
I was going to talk to you about how these people at the top are sort of beginning to stab each other in the back as the whole thing starts to collapse. But I don't, it's it, I it's kind of a little bit of a serendipity because I think that this conversation that we're having about the Satanists and about this core of really destroying our culture at the core level, targeting our children and disregarding people's suffering is at the core of the same thing of these people stabbing each other in the back as the system falls apart. I was really fascinated on your website. I about fell off my chair when I read the headlines. It said JP Morgan loses 45% of registered gold stock in one day. I went, what? That I can't help but honestly think that it's, and perhaps this is all about the social engineering. This is why I want to thank you for coming here and allowing us to open up this conversation about social engineering because honestly, we have been pushed off the cliff in a wheelbarrow over Niagara Falls and we have not hit the bottom yet.
Well, that's true, and it is all being done by design. They're actively destroying the dollar. You have to remember that when Obama became president, when he came into power, really a puppet controlled by the bankers above him, I think his single largest donation source was Goldman Sachs. When Obama came into power, the national debt was around $9 trillion. It's now over $18 trillion. So this one puppet has more than doubled the national debt. Right, and it took all of the previous presidents, going back to George Washington, to get us to $9 trillion in debt. This man has doubled it in his time in office. This is being done by design because if you look around the world, Lonnie, if you look at Russia, if you look at other creditor nations who did hold our debt and are now actively selling it, like China, they truly wanted this system to stay stitched together. But it's our really out of control evil government at this point that is abusing the dollar, the petrodollar, right? This privileged status we have of having the world's reserve currency is being abused to the point where now these other nations are saying, We've had enough. You're going to bring down the whole global economy because of your behavior. But we can't hold your dollars anymore. We're not going to participate in this because all you people want to do is march around the world and start war after war after war. Turn Libya into a hellhole. Turn Iraq into a hellhole. Turn Afghanistan into a hellhole, right? And we've been doing it on borrowed money. So now the system is coming to an end. And you mentioned what's going on with J.P. Morgan. Well, let me tell you what's going on at the COMEX, right? Known as the CRIMEX, really.
Yes, I was about to talk to you about that. Go ahead.
What's going on at the COMEX is entirely stunning, right? The physical gold available for delivery, registered actual physical gold at the COMEX, has fallen to an all-time low of, get this, 202,000 ounces. Now, just to put that in perspective, right? A guy worth $10 million could write a check for $1.1 million and get 1,000 ounces of gold, right? Happens frequently in this world, probably happens every day. You only need 202 well-heeled multimillionaires to clear out the COMEX. What's happening at the COMEX right now is as close to a default, a force majeure, as they've ever been. And right now there are 228 ounces of paper gold claims for every 1 ounce of deliverable registered physical gold on hand. That means there's 228 people standing in line thinking that they own gold that are going to find out that they're never going to get it if and when the COMEX defaults. So that's how messed up this system is, and that's why, you know, so many of us libertarian-minded folks advocate physical silver and physical gold, right? Because it is the one tangible asset that may help you survive when the dollar fails. And the dollar will fail. It's coming. I talked to the vigilant, I talked to Jeff Berwick from Dollar Vigilante just yesterday, and he says, this is his quote, "We're in the last days of this financial system in the United States. This is Zimbabwe. The ship is going down."
Wow.
"This is the USSR in 1989, end quote. So, I mean, it's happening. Everything is in process. The collapse is happening.
It is in process. When do you think that it's going to become like apparent and they can't keep pumping it back up and putting, you know, dirt over the open wound? I mean, how much time do people really have to prepare? Because I can feel it intuitively. I can actually really feel that something is happening.
Well, I mean, I think it's happening now to the degree that those of us who follow this stuff every single day, for instance, for many of your listeners, what I just said about the COMEX may be news to them, right?
Right.
But to those who follow it daily, it's really stunning news, and it just exemplifies the fact that the collapse is happening, it's getting worse. As far as the cover-up goes, what they've been able to do is paper over everything with more paper, right? So if you are on food stamps, if you are on disability, if you're on Social Security, your checks have continued to come. So you may only get your news from CNN or Fox News, right? Your checks are still coming. You can go to Subway and buy a $5 footlong. Subway, there's Subway again. Everything's fine in your paradigm. But behind the scenes, right, what's really going on is absolutely stunning. As China says, "We're selling your treasuries." They warned Washington just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe it's been a month. "We are selling your treasuries." They've liquidated $200 billion in treasuries in the last year. $100 billion of it has happened in the last month. So what's happening...
Say that again. That is a stunning statistic. Please.
China has liquidated $100 billion in U.S. treasuries in just the last month. They've liquidated, that we know about, $200 billion in the last year. But in the last month, they warned Washington, "We're done. We're selling treasuries." So now the buyer of last resort is the Federal Reserve, right? So as they try to keep the bond market, see, here's the only thing that is preventing the dollar from collapsing, right? It's the best of the worst currencies. But it's only the best of the worst currencies, right? Because all currencies on the planet are Ponzi fiat currencies, meaning really none of them are backed by gold anymore. So the only thing propping up the dollar is the fact that so many other currencies are even in worse shape because they aren't the world's reserve currency. But the problem for us now, Lonnie, is that we are losing our world's reserve currency status. And what that means is that after Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971, he and Kissinger and his banker buddies got together and they invented the petrodollar. They went to Saudi Arabia and said, "Look, here's, we're going to make you very, very wealthy, but you need to trade and make sure that other nations that want to buy your oil only can use dollars."
And I recall that they actually kind of bullied them into that position. It wasn't like they went willing into it.
Yeah, well, and that may be the case, but now they become very, very wealthy, but that may well be the case because all this government knows how to do is bully other nations. So the point is that the petrodollar standard is now crumbling as well, because if you look at what happened in Iraq, if you look at what happened in Libya, if you look at what's going on in Iran, these are all nations that wanted to start getting away from buying oil in dollars. So we went in and we attacked them, right? So that system of propping up the dollar is now collapsing because the two biggest nations, Russia and China, really the two biggest nations in terms of holding dollars and trading in dollars, with the exception of Japan and Saudi Arabia, they're getting out of the dollar. So the point is that this paradigm is now actively collapsing. And even though those who are on food stamps and get, you know, and even those who just go about their daily life, the people we call sheeple people, a lot of my friends, neighbors, and colleagues, they go about their daily life and they get their news from Fox News or CNN, depending on their political bent, and they're not getting this information, right? They don't know what's going on at the
right.
Commons.
They will be sorely shocked. They think, in fact, when I talk about this, that I'm completely extreme and a total radical. They're like, well, where are you getting your information? I'm like, it's actually real. If you looked into it, like, it's not, none of this is hidden information. That's the really mind-bending thing about social engineering, is that it actually, people don't want to hear the real reality. They want to pretend that what they're being told is the truth. It is a stunning state of affairs that we find ourselves in. How is it that J.P. Morgan could lose 45? What happens when that happens? How did that come to pass? Because that headline stunned me. 45% of registered gold stock lost in one day. How did that happen? What is the mechanics of that happening?
Well, you know, that's a mystery, and the person who's covering that is, well, if not better than anybody else right now, is my friend Steve St. Angelo over at SRS Rocco Report, srsroccoreport.com, okay? And what's going on with J.P. Morgan, here's what you have to understand about J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan is a criminal international bank, right? As is Goldman Sachs, as is HSBC, as is so many of these too-big-to-fail banks. J.P. Morgan is really an agent of the Fed, because J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon and his team over there at that criminal bank, are the agents of the Fed in terms of the bond market, right? They handle the bond market on behalf of the Fed. So they're really partners with the Fed. Now, the Fed is in a lot of trouble because they can't raise interest rates. The dollar is, you know, on its last legs. As I've mentioned, the Fed's the buyer of last resort. So the point I'm trying to make is that J.P. Morgan operates in the shadows. And what's truly going on at J.P. Morgan is really hard to know. But as SRS Rocco writes, with the drain of COMEX gold and silver registered inventories continues, the drain continues as demand for physical precious metals increases. J.P. Morgan experienced a 45% decline of its registered gold inventories in one day. Now note that this sort of is commensurate with what I was telling you about the COMEX. What's happening with the COMEX is very, very unusual, and it's a red flag. And what's happening with J.P. Morgan's own gold stocks is also unusual, and it's a red flag. And either one of two things is either happening. Either J.P. Morgan and the powers that be that control it and have access to that gold are taking delivery and taking what's left, or J.P. Morgan is trying very hard to stem the tide at the COMEX, because the COMEX is on the verge of default. My point is that we don't really know what's going on at J.P. Morgan or why this is happening, but I think that it is the canary in the coal mine. When I tell everybody who's listening that the dollar is really in the stages of dying, right? This world reserve currency status is dying. We've enjoyed this status for 45 years. China and Russia and the other nation states are saying, we're done. You're done. Your nation's criminal. All the Pentagon wants to do is wage war. We're done. We're not going to buy your bonds anymore. And the only thing propping up the dollar is confidence. And because it's no longer backed by gold and silver, people who are awake, like me and like you, are saying, I should probably get out of these dollars while they still have purchasing power. So there's a raid on the COMEX for physical precious metals, gold and silver. And it's happening all over the world. And, you know, if you look at the SGE, for instance, in China, the Shanghai Gold Exchange, the physical silver supplies have plummeted over the last 2 years by 90%. So there's a raid. People in this world who are awake want physical tangible wealth, because this paper fiat wealth is not going to last forever. And I'll tell you one other thing. Anybody out there listening who thinks, well, this guy's making a lot of sense, but I can sleep easy at night because through my 401k, I have the SLV ETF, or I have the GLD ETF, and I have 1,000 ounces of gold in the GLD, and I have 10,000 ounces of silver in the SLV. Heads up, you are going to be a debtor waiting in line when those ETFs implode, because JP Morgan is the custodian for SLV, and HSBC, the most criminal bank on planet Earth, is the custodian for the GLD ETFs. So you have two criminal banks operating two paper ETFs, and there's a lot of people who have been placated and believe that they have precious metals exposure because of those ETFs. When and if this, or I should say, if and when this system collapses, which it will at some point soon, there's going to be a lot of people standing in line for their gold and silver that are never going to get it.
That's true. You know, I actually was talking to a friend of mine who has a pretty decent reserve for her business. And I said, you know, seriously, you need to get some of that in hard gold, silver, or something. And she said, you know, it's not that easy. We live in Eugene. She goes, where do you get? And I said, look, there's places to go. People don't believe that there's going to be a day, and probably not in that too far of the future, you're going to go to the bank and they're going to tell you, you're behind all of the bankers. We get to supply them all of your money, just like they did in Greece, and you get to stand in line and wait and beg for whatever money we decide to give you. It's kind of stunning. People don't believe that. But I, as you were talking, I had this idea, because it sort of relates to the other story that I wanted to talk to you about, the exposure of the Mossad being actively engaged in the 9/11 report, which you and I both know that 9/11 came out the day after trillions and trillions of dollars had been, you know, disclosed as, quote, missing. Ironically, I mean, I haven't really formulated this idea, but I kind of have this feeling that this has been a process over the last 15 years that they have been draining the coffers of real gold, real silver, of the real actually assets and values, and have been sort of planning this collapse for quite a long time. And it seems like that they are deciding that sometime, like, I feel like the people that have been shoved into Europe and all the Syrian refugee things, I think that that's kind of intentional. They're making people go into areas, frankly, with high levels of radiation. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that are happening that if people aren't connecting all these dots, but it seems as if when you talk about these people being serious Satanists, I am actually not one to really believe in Satanism or, you know what I mean, and all that. But as I'm really reading this, I'm thinking, wow, man, this sounds like I'm almost becoming a believer over the whole satanic cult thing that is running the government. What's your response to all this jumbled emotions that I have around all these issues that kind of, to me, collide together by the same criminal enterprise that apparently seems to be running our government?
Yeah. You know, that's your feelings. What you're experiencing is so 100% valid. And I think that because you are such a thinker, and, you know, you operate on a level that, you know, I guess defining you as a person who's awake when so many are still asleep, it makes sense that you're feeling this way, especially if I know you're a spiritual person, but let's say you're not a religious person. I don't know, for instance, what your religious beliefs are. But I'll say this. If the people in control of this planet are avowed Satanists, right, and they believe that okay, this gets very complicated. I'm going to try to be very quick here about this because we don't have time to get into this. But if the people at the top of the pyramid believe that Lucifer is truly the light bearer and the one true God that gives humanity their power, and that it was an evil God, right, the God of the Bible, who usurped human freedom and was a jealous and mean and vengeful God, right? And they believe that Satan is the God that gives them their own personal power. I'm sort of butchering this, but that's actually what they believe, right? So if the people at the top of the pyramid believe in Satan, worship Satan, and want to bring in this one-world religion and usher in this satanic one-world religion, if they believe that, what does that say about Bible, the Bible, and the God of the Bible? For me, it's actually strengthened my faith to the degree that I know that there's spiritual warfare on this planet, and there are people in control of this planet at the highest levels that worship a very dark power. So at least the atheists and those that are listening, I just want you to open your mind and understand that there are really bad people on this planet that worship a very dark power. And if that's true, then because for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You know, if there's black, there's also white. If there's dark, there's light. What is on the flip side of that Satanist agenda? You know, and for me, it's really increased my Christian faith to the degree that I know that what I'm telling you is real, and I know that what I'm telling you is happening, and I know that these people are vicious, unrepentant Satanists. So what is the flip side to that? You know, maybe the story of what happened to Jesus Christ ought to be looked into a little deeper by those who question it. So, okay, we'll get off of that now. I just want to say this. you mentioned 9/11. I did a video that's very, very important that people watch, and it's called 9/11 From Cheney to Mossad. And when I interviewed author Rebecca Roth about her new book, Methodical Deception, we got into an area of 9/11 that I was only vaguely familiar with, and I feel like I'm very, very well researched and studied in 9/11. And we talked about the art students, right, that the DEA and FBI had investigated prior to 9/11. And the DEA had issued a report that she brought to my attention that I had never heard. I didn't know about this. And the DEA had figured out that these art students, many of them were actually Mossad agents. And some of these Mossad agents were ordnance, ammunition, or bomb experts. Now, what happened in this video, you guys really need to watch this. Just go to
they
YouTube.
They do. I actually watched it several times. It's a great video. It's not very long either.
It's 8 minutes. And of course, the interview with Rebecca was 75 minutes. You could watch that too. But the point is that on the 91st floor of the North Tower, Larry Silverstein and his buddies had given carte blanche to these quote-unquote art students, some of whom were from Israel and some of whom were from Austria, to do their art project on the 91st floor of the World Trade Center. And when you watch this video, you're going to see some really mysterious stuff on the 91st floor, including the fact that they were wearing rappelling gear and that they were bomb experts. And people will often say, if the towers were brought down by controlled demolition, like you people say, like World Trade Center 7, how in the heck did it happen? Who had access? Well, I'll tell you who had access. These Israeli bomb experts had access to the 91st floor and really full run of the towers, including the roof, for 4 years prior to 9/11. So when architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth tell you that scientists have found nanothermite in the dust at 9/11, which can only come from explosive reactions that occur when thermite or nanothermite is used, which helps melt steel, you know, so that it falls apart like a knife through butter. It's stunning information. So now we know. Well, who had access to the towers? How did this happen? Who played a role? The Israeli Mossad. But you won't hear that in the Mockingbird mainstream media.
You know, the other part about that is, think about it. It happened in 2001, which means that the planning started to get implemented in 1997. But that's the implementing of a plan, which means that they were cooking this up before 1997. You know, this is one of the things that I you know, if I didn't have to support myself, like if I hit the lottery, there's so many things I could do a research on, because I would really love to investigate what was going on around 96, 97, 98. Where were all these players in the government? Where had they positioned themselves? And what was the motivation? Like, they had to have planned this out. This is not a quick plan. Like you said, this is what really stunned me for 4 years. I knew that those students were there. I had heard about this. But there was many details in this little report that I had not heard of. Like, just either, even the repelling gear, I didn't hear about that either. You know what I mean? But is there any information about who at the very core of this plan, the prior to, who was engaged? Who hired these students? Who, like you say, Larry Silverstein gave them a carte blanche. Well, who arranged that deal? How did that happen?
Well, let me tell you, I just want to say a couple things here. As far as the planning and implementation of 11 goes, what you're bringing up is really important, and we do need to go back and figure out the history of how those students, who gave them access to the tower specifically. I mentioned Larry Silverstein because, of course, Larry Silverstein signed a purchase agreement. He bought the towers, or leased them, I should say, for 100 years with only $14 million of his own money.
Right.
I think in the year before 9/11, maybe it was 3 months before 9/11. I know that 3 months before 9/11, Larry Silverstein had the towers insured for $3.5 billion, I believe it was. And, of course, his out-of-pocket investment was $14 million. Anyway, three months later, the towers collapsed. And, of course, he did have the towers insured for against acts of terrorism.
Right.
So, anyway, I want to say one thing as it pertains to these Mossad art students. Everyone needs to understand now that when you criticize Israel or point these things out, you're not being anti-Semitic any more than you're being anti-American to criticize the Pentagon for endless unconstitutional wars of aggression, right?
Gotcha.
So that label no longer works. But having said that, I do want to point out the fact that the day before 9/11, as you know, Lonnie, Rumsfeld said that the Pentagon can't account for $2.3 trillion. That number today has been revised to $8.5 trillion, missing out the back door. They're looting the nation, right? Well, who was the comptroller at the Pentagon on Rumsfeld's watch when he said that? It was Dov Zakheim. And Dov Zakheim is a dual citizen of Israel. And, after 9/11, Dov left and went back to Israel. So I think that there's a very tangible tie of Israel and the Mossad to what happened on 9/11. And certainly there were assets and probably agencies within our own deep state involved here. But you've got to look at Israel. And how far back it goes before 1997 is anyone's guess. But there's been a lot of research from people who say that it's been predicted in TV shows like The Simpsons and all sorts of different things over the years, way predating 2001. But I'll tell you one thing's for sure. As it pertains to those art students on the 91st floor, some of whom were Israeli Mossad bomb experts, I know that none of them were Muslims, and none of them were part of Osama bin Laden's crew. So when people say the official story can only be true and you people are nuts, just imagine who had access to those buildings. It was Israelis. It was not Muslims.
Well, look, that whole 9/11 thing is really interesting. I don't know how people can ignore the fact that there was a building that was not hit by an airplane that fully collapsed, and it was a very important building. It wasn't just like a pizza joint. Do you know what I mean? That to me was like the really, actually, that was the biggest, most daring act of social engineering I have ever actually seen, because people have chosen to just ignore the facts. So let me ask you this. The time is running short. Wow, this is thank you so much for this interview. It is really always awesome to chat with you and interview you here, because you are just chock full of information that helps us learn how to live in this, I consider it an onslaught right now. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, I'm sitting here looking at the 45% gold stock lost in one day. About the Mossad attack, a little bit more about that and how it relates. Like, when people have this information about the 9/11, the facts of 9/11, what can we do? What is your suggestion on what we can do with that information? I mean, it's all well and good for us to expose all this stuff, but if nothing's going to happen, there's not going to be any criminal indictments. Apparently, we have a government who pretty much decided that, you know, in my view, I actually think that the whole Israeli involvement, not to offend anybody who's a supporter of Israel, but I actually really believe that Israel was created by the industrial military complex to be the long arm, the stretched arm of the United States in many ways, which is why we have lots of dual citizens inside of our government, because they want to make sure Israel's always supported.
Well, something very important that you hit on there is you're on the right track. I mean, Israel, it goes a little deeper, though, than the military-industrial complex. If you guys just research and look up the Balfour Declaration, take a look at the Balfour Declaration, take a look who it was written by, and take a look at who it was addressed to. And you're going to see a name called Rothschild there. So I've long maintained that the Rothschilds, Israel is a proxy state. It's a proxy arm of the Rothschild banking establishment.
I can go with that. That sounds right.
Yeah, look at the Balfour Declaration. It's just important information for people to understand. But, you know, getting back to AIPAC and the Mossad and 9/11, the other thing I just want to say is that, again, who had the motive, the means, and the opportunity, right? And which van, which truck with the Twin Towers painted on the side with an airplane crashing into it was stopped on 9/11? Well, it was a truck with Israelis in it, and they were detained. And 72 days later, something 71 days later, their buddy Michael Chertoff, also a dual citizen of Israel, sent them back to Israel, where they appeared on a show saying that, right? This is on a talk show. You can watch this on YouTube. Just Google it. Israelis admit they were there to document the event. And what they say on the talk show is, we come from a nation that is plagued with terror. Our mission, our goal was to document the event. Well, who on earth could have had the pre-knowledge to document 9/11 unless they were informed and told to go do it? So I'll tell you what, this rabbit hole runs deep, but I'm getting pretty sick and tired of hearing, you know, that it was Al-Qaeda, which has now been rebranded ISIS. It's time for the American people to wake up. And yeah. I'm actually at work on a new micro-documentary that I want to share, hopefully within the next week, that I think will really blow people's socks off, and it's related to these art students, and it shows that their crime was premeditated, and it shows the psychopathy and evil of which you know, they were not only capable but were operating under. And I'm going to show some images. I'm going to show some things I've discovered in that video that I think will really, really make people angry, because this official story hijacked our anger, Lonnie. And it directed the anger of the American people at Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11, at Afghanistan, at you know, all of these different Middle Eastern countries, right?
And Muslims, Muslims are being viciously attacked in our country.
Yeah, I want people to when I share this video, my hope is, and that's why I'm taking so much time trying to get it done, I want people to remember their anger, learn that it was displaced, and reapply their anger in the correct direction. Because what I'm going to show people in that video is really horrific and stunning.
Well, then what is that? Well, this is my point about the whole going backwards to the 9/11 thing. And actually, I feel this way, frankly. I've been, Thomas Ackerman and I have been having this conversation because I'm very frustrated. You know, a lot of people don't like Kevin Blanchett's style because he goes out there and rants and raves and, you know, they just can't handle it because he just calls everybody a shill for the nuclear industry. But the bottom line is really, I have this frustration that none of the nuclear groups, none of them have been effective. No matter, 9 million people in the heart of our country are now having tainted water that's 89 times the EPA living standard, over 100 times the nitrates. If you looked at that map that came out on, I think it's called businessinsider.com, this story broke there about the University of Illinois had done a study, a long study, many, many, many samples of water through in the heart of our country. All of Nebraska is contaminated. All of Nebraska is contaminated. There is very little with high levels of uranium and nitrates. Through the heartland of California, where they grow a lot of our vegetables and the wine and all this stuff, nitrates are off the charts. And the story was about high levels of uranium might cause liver, you know, damage the liver. No, high levels of uranium will cause children to be sterile, will cause cancers, as well as liver damage. And none of the people in those areas are organizing. It's the same story about the 9/11 thing. Yes, we're aware, but can we get convictions of these people? I mean, the facts are out there, but what do we do with this information instead of just being angry? Like, I'm actually beginning to believe that no one's going to be held accountable until the dollar collapses. When the bankers can't prop each other up, this is why your story about the leaking of the bankers outing each other for, you know, the crimes that they're perpetrating really hit home, because I think once the rats, once they see that they haven't got anything left, they're all going to be pointing fingers at each other, because then they know the pitchforks are going to come out and people are going to go to jail. When the thing finally collapses, people are going to demand accountability. But what do you think of that? I mean,
yeah, I hope so. I mean, I'm skeptical, and I'm skeptical because the American public is so asleep. And you know where Kevin Blanche has it right? The American people, the public at large, are idiots. And you know what? I'm not saying that to offend any particular listener, because I'd have to believe anybody that is listening to your show or reading my website is awake and is intellectually honest and curious. That's what we need. We need more people who are intellectually honest. Lonnie, you and I
talk. I think that it's not that they're idiots. Kevin and I used to discuss this all the time, because I think when you call people names like that, it actually prevents them from taking action. We used to have this conversation all the time. I really believe that it's really important to give people that window of action by encouraging them. They lack the courage to get educated. We as creatures, we want peace. We demand peace. Humans are the only creatures that are willing to be abused just so that they can live in peace. Most creatures will defend themselves. Human beings will just be slaves. And honestly, I think it's very important for us to just encourage people to have the courage to get an education and to say, look, I don't have to convince you with this information. It's not my information. It's out there. Like this business of what we've been talking about today, all of it's out there. And I believe that the fact that you and I, we're creating an energy and a force that allows other people to even acknowledge it. Because like my friend Jenny said to me, Lonnie, I know what you're saying, but if I really believed that our government had a hand in 9/11, I'd have a nervous breakdown. My response to her was, no, you wouldn't. You would not have a nervous breakdown. You would be getting really angry and demanding accountability, but your response is what they want you to have. And so I keep pushing back, and you know what? She's actually beginning to get it. She is actually acknowledging it. The big issue is, Americans want to stay comfortable. You know, fat, happy, and lazy. You know what I mean? They want to pretend like going to Subway is going to make you happy, and yet you can disconnect from the corporate crimes of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then let me say this. You're right about the label idiots, and maybe what I should have said instead is cowards. Okay? Because here's the bottom line. How much evidence do you need that our government has been hijacked before you wake up and get angry, Lonnie? The debt has doubled under Obama. So say you're a Democrat, but you're still going to be a fan of Obama, despite the fact that he's for torture, despite the fact that he's for illegal eavesdropping in the NSA, despite the fact...
I mean, actually, you know, Obama is Bush on Balco. He's smarter than Bush, so he implemented it better. That's all.
Maybe he's a better puppet, but he's still a puppet. And my point is that what is it going to take for the American people to stand up? Okay, because maybe they're not idiots, but they're definitely cowards at large. And I'll tell you why. This government is responsible for the deaths of millions of people in the name of the 9/11 false flag lie, right? In the name of the official story, we've dropped love bombs on every single, at least three different countries, okay? And now we're in Syria, so call it four different countries that we know about.
Okay.
And
I mean, we constantly do it. The drones are going off in Yemen. We're killing people without even sending in a single soldier. And we have, it's really a crime against humanity the way our country is conducting itself. It's completely outrageous.
Well, it is, but here's my point. Now, you ask, will people wake up? Will there be justice served after the dollar collapses? Well, probably not, Lonnie, because the people are not serving justice against these criminals now. We know Hillary Clinton is a lying criminal. We know Lindsey Graham and John McCain are lying criminals. What's being done about it, Lonnie? Nothing.
Dick Cheney is actually considered a respected Republican. That just blows me away.
No, but that's my whole point. And, you know, now the NFL football season just started. And what are the top six shows this week? The top rated shows are college football and NFL football. Great. Watching football is a lot of fun. But people just want to stay asleep. And they don't care. You say you're fat and happy. They want to stay comfortable. They don't care that the Treasury has been looted. They don't care that $8.5 trillion is missing from the Pentagon. They don't care that we're $18 trillion.
They don't care
that we're in these endless unjustified wars of terror, because they believe in the bullshit 9/11 story. So when are they going to wake up? It's their responsibility to wake up, and if they don't, then they're complicit in these crimes against humanity. And that's why at the end of the day, when this dollar collapses, a lot of Americans are going to get crushed.
True. Well, you know what, Sean? I will tell you what, your words are very clear. This is one of the things that we were talking, Ackerman and I were talking about this when we were talking about this whole sense of ennui and like just can't, you know, there's nothing to help. It really gets down to the caring. It gets down to having a conscience, getting up every day and doing the right thing, even though it's difficult. And actually waking up, your opening your heart and not just feeling love for your family and love for the country, but caring to do the right thing, having an ethical standard, raise your levels of expectations, of self-expectation. That's one of the things that in our country we have really, especially among the millennials, like they do the minimal amount possible because they don't have a sense of the future's going to be really great. You know, they have this sense of, oh my God, we're going to have to trudge through this horrible world. Look what these people have. My niece and I have gotten into huge arguments over this one because I just feel like they're really smart young people. They have lots of education in their brains. They really comprehend it. But the level of just caring, of caring about their own lives even, this all fundamentally goes back to the social engineering issue. That I strongly, this is why I bring this up, because I don't think that we can separate the crimes against humanity that are being perpetrated by the technologists and the nuclear industry from the lack of caring in our culture that allows it to go on.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, in defense of the people who are asleep and are going to stay asleep and, you know, can't follow this stuff and don't want to follow it or don't know about it. Even for somebody who's in it 24 hours a day like me, maintaining three websites, SGT Report, thelibertymill.com, and thephaser.com, it's tough to keep up because there's so much going on. You mentioned the nuclear radiation problem. That's a whole nother facet that I touch on. I follow it. I report on it. But you're in that arena full time. Yeah. I'm in really the economic precious metal banker fraud arena almost full time. Those are two enormous arenas. So,
yeah.
How in the world are people supposed to, when they work a 9-to-5 job and are trying to raise a family on a shoestring budget, supposed to be engaged? I don't know what the answer is, Lonnie. I know that we need people to wake up, but I don't know what the answer is. I'm not sure how we take this country back from the banksters, the robber barons who have hijacked it.
I think we really need to give people the courage. And frankly, it takes courage to love. It takes courage to actually face this stuff. This is what we need to do, is encourage people to say, look, you can face this. We don't have to stick our heads in the sand. I think it's very important for us to reawaken people, because this is one of my real fundamental core things about, quote, waking people up, is we need to lead by example and say, I work full-time, frankly. I work a lot, and I go to school, and there is time to pay attention. It doesn't take that much. If every single person listening to this radio show, I have no idea how many eventually will listen to it, but let's just say it's even 200 people, not even that many. If every one of those people took some positive, serious action, that's enough energy and that's enough action to actually make a difference in some arenas. Our elected, and this is the thing, we're kind of like beating on the drum here, calling our elected officials. I get that. This is why I don't think we're going to have any real chance for change until the system finally collapses, because out of the ashes, people will have to find their courage, because they are going to be challenged in ways that they have not heretofore been challenged. Think of this. Our children have never really lived in a world without the internet. Like, they can't even comprehend what the world was like without the internet.
Yeah, or war.
Or war. Well, all of us, I don't think I've ever thought about our country not being in war. Let's just think about that one. Like, our country, I think, I heard a guy, he wrote a book about America's wars, and he said there's only been, like, I don't know, two or three or five years, a very small amount of time when we were not in a constant war. America's right. Always been a warring nation. That's how we built the nation. We decimated the Native Americans through war. And then we just started going out like ants everywhere else. We're just sort of invading the whole world, you know?
Yeah, let me tell you this. So you mentioned, you know, maybe freedom rising like a phoenix from the ashes after the collapse. I'm going to be a little
rain. That's a poetic way to put it.
A little rain on the parade, though, here. Google this. The 1988 cover of The Economist, right? Whoops. The 1988 cover of The Economist showed a phoenix rising from the ashes of burning dollars, of burning $100 bills. And around the phoenix's neck was a gold medallion in a one world currency that said the date was 2018. And I believe the headline was, here comes the one world currency, something like that. I forget, I don't have it in front of me. Let's can Google that. So 2018, we're only a couple years away from 2018, 2.5 years away from it now, Lonnie. So that is what they want. They want to destroy the dollar, and then out of that will come. And they want to destroy the euro.
Well, now that you brought that up, you know, excuse me, we only have like 5 minutes. So I don't mean to step on your words a bit, but I really want to get to this idea. I heard some things that September 23rd is going to be the day when something pretty serious happens to the financial market. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've been following that in the Shemitah and the 7-year cycles. And, you know, there does seem to be some very, very tumultuous economic stuff that happens every 7 years with the Shemitah. You know, what I've been saying for a long time, though, Lonnie, is that there's really no sense in putting on a timeline on this stuff or a date on it. Because what we know, the quantifiables that we know, is that the average lifespan of a currency, a fiat currency, is 40 years. We're in like year 45 or 46 in this dollar. So this thing is long in the tooth. I don't know when the collapse is going to happen, but we've seen a lot of tumultuous things already happening in the stock market and in global stock markets here over the past couple of months. September and October is often a terrible, terrible time for the stock market. So I don't know what will happen on September 23rd. Hopefully nothing dramatic, but I know some people have been predicting that as it relates to the Shemitah. But I would say this, it's important to prepare, and as you say in your show open, happiness is resistance. And for those that are afraid of this information and are afraid to get dialed in, if you want to continue living in the matrix and you want to spend your whole life living in the matrix, that's on you. That's up to you. But we're telling you, Lonnie and I are telling you, that it's actually more exciting, more engaging. You'll feel alive, and you'll feel like you're contributing to the benefit of humanity if you break the chains of the matrix and dig deeper. Look what's happening under the surface.
Amen.
There's no sense living in the Wizard of Oz. Pull the curtain back, see that the evil men behind the curtain are frail, old, satanic bastards, and feel empowered. Because the only way we're going to take our world back is to recognize the truth, talk about the truth, target the criminals, and hopefully get justice by putting them in prison.
Amen to that. Hey, Sean, I think we're coming up on the time, man. Please say your websites again really quick.
Sure. Thanks for inviting me on. The websites are sgtreport.com, thelibertymill.com, and thephaser.com. Real news, 24/7.
The Phaser, that's PHASER.
Right.
Yeah, they're very valuable websites, people. If you have not been following them, I really strongly suggest that you follow them. The information there is real. He brings together a lot of very thoughtful people. It's not just him writing on a blog. He actually searches out real information and does a lot of research on all this. Very, very excellent website, Sean. I have to say, I feel very honored that you have been willing to come back on my radio show. I hope we can continue to do this at least once a month, because this is extremely important to help people get their courage. You know, I say put your courage feet on, because it's almost like you have to decide to just have your courage. It's not something that just comes naturally in our culture. So I really appreciate your time, and I think we're just about ending. And we'll catch you guys on Friday. Call in Friday, and thank you again, Sean.
Thanks, Lonnie. Anytime.
Yeah, and so I still haven't gotten this ending thing down on the UCY.TV, so maybe it's at number 59. I thought the show would end at 58. So we'll just keep talking. I think I don't know if. Jules is catching it later, but I thought that the show would end at 58, which is why I said see you guys later. So okay. We have a few minutes more left, but Sean, about your website, the Phaser Report, in 30 seconds, do you think you can tell us what that's about? Because we're coming up to 59.
Yeah, real quick, sgtreport.com, that's the meat and potatoes website. We get about 1.1 million hits a month, and that's tons and tons of real news, alternative news items every single day. It's the opposition to corporate media and corporate propaganda. And if you guys want to go to YouTube, search out SGT Report and all of my interviews.